Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show. Thank you guys so much for visiting the sponsors at chrisabalo.com, clicking on support the show, visiting all our fine sponsors, using the Amazon banner, sending your donations through PayPal. They are much appreciated. If you aren't already, you should be following the show on social media, at CapePod, on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr, and also liking the show on Facebook. Please give the thumbs up. We don't post like ridiculously, and there's not like memes every day or anything obnoxious, or no BuzzFeed articles, no clickbait bullshit. So if you're not following the show on Facebook, you should be, because your feed's not going to get flooded with unimportant stuff. However, as you may know, or may not know, again, if you're following, you know this already, but the show for right now is going to be every other Monday. So there was not a show last Monday. There's not going to be a show next Monday. It's going to be every 2 weeks for now, because I'm still back in New Jersey and will be for a short while. There's just some family stuff going on right now that I need to be around for. So this schedule isn't necessarily conducive to me being able to stop and make room and coordinate a show or whatever. And I'd rather over-deliver and under-promise. I don't want it to be the other way around, where I'm just like, yeah, weekly, and then just miss a couple of random Mondays for no reason. So for right now, while I'm working through a couple of things here in New Jersey, and possibly a bit beyond, then the show's just going to be every other week for a short while. But the easiest way to make sure you're getting the show is to subscribe, of course. Links for your iTunes, if you're an Apple user, or for your Android device, those are at chrisabalo.com. Just click on the Cape logo on the homepage, and it'll take you to the episode archive. And you can just click on the links below every episode and subscribe, so you're getting the shows every other Monday when they become available, which is pretty much first thing Monday morning. All right. Joining me once again for, it's the third time already. Since I'm still in New Jersey, all the regular cohorts are still within reach. So returning for a threesome. No, I'm just kidding. Returning for his third visit, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ryan Taggart.
Hey, kids. I'm back.
Ryan, you can follow, of course, on Twitter and Instagram at Tagsonian, and his website is noseatbeltblog.com. That's where you go for all sorts of stuff. Aside from Ryan's usual rantings about everyday stuff, he also does... Well, what's the actual schedule breakdown? Because you know offhand, I just read whenever they come out, but I haven't committed it to memory.
Right. It's a combination of scheduled series. So I have a beer blog that goes up on Sundays. It's called The Beer List, where they are recommendations of awesome beers that I've had that I think you should try too, if you're into that kind of thing.
And are currently having right now.
I have a music series right now called Growing Up 90s, which is basically just sort of handpicked songs that I grew up loving during my formative years,
which I'm really enjoying
telling you about. And I have a Funko Friday. It's a toy series based on the little miniature vinyl dolls that everybody loves,
except
for Chris Abalo.
Yeah, the bane of Chris's existence. But
so
otherwise,
it's a combination of those kind of series and then just one-off things of whatever I'm thinking about. A lot of movie talk, a lot of beer talk, a lot of toy talk, music, basically everything that I want to write about, everything that's good in life.
And multiple posts every week.
Right.
So aside from the series, you get...
Yeah, usually 3 to 4 posts a week.
And you all should check them out. Once again, noseatbeltblog.com is where you go. And look for No Seatbelt Blog on Facebook and...
And Twitter.
And Twitter, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. So we're here to talk about a couple of things this week. Just kind of banter about things. And let's start off with one of the things that make... one of the times you and I look forward to most during the year. It's already been a week since it happened, which is the Super Bowl. Ryan and I are huge Super Bowl fans because it means the end of football season.
Right.
Because we are not football fans.
Not even
remotely.
A little bit.
We hate the bandwagon jumping for the local teams when they do well.
Even when
they don't.
Now they're still my team. No matter, they tried so hard.
It gets so much more egregious when people are... Like when the Giants or Jets are doing, I mean, the Jets never do well, but when the Giants are doing well, I don't know. It just seems like here, and when I say local, I'm talking about whatever's going on in LA. I'm not paying any attention. Some teams come to LA. I don't even know which one.
Right.
But I don't know when this became such a thing. I know this
I
baffles
know
you just
either.
As much
it
as
does.
Me. Especially when women became like, I think it started maybe with when the employees would be allowed to wear on Sundays football jerseys, and women got on board with that. Or it's because
they think it makes them look cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or because they thought Tony Romo or Tom Brady's cute.
Guys will like them more if they're into football.
Yeah. But there seems to be, I mean, I don't know if very many women, I'm not saying they don't exist. I don't know very many women who can name stats or name more than the cute quarterback for the team whose jersey they own.
Right.
Or that dude's jersey. You know, they just know him.
But even some do. Some are actually way into the game and more that I see. And it's just kind of strange.
It's weird to me because you and I not being football fans, here's the thing I don't understand. If I can say something that's probably lightly sexist, it's one of the few refuges men have in society right now.
Used
where,
to be.
Well, it really,
at least as far as football is concerned, not even just sports in general,
right.
But that particular
football
game.
Specifically, which is the weird thing. It's like not being men's men or macho men, alpha men,
we're not.
Whatever you want to call it. No, not at all. And we've proven that by saying we don't like football. But I would think guys want to keep that to themselves and not have women get in on it.
Right.
Just the type of guys who tend to like football. I'm not talking about casual fans. I'm talking about dudes who root every week. I mean, I think guys have got more into it because now there's fairy tale football, so you can gamble on
fairy
it.
Tale
and, you know,
football.
Fucking. Now guys are earning off of players and investing way too much time in something that, I mean, aside from the fact you can make money off of it, is just, I don't know, glorified.
Yeah,
well,
most fantasy leagues are free to play and you don't actually win anything.
Yeah.
And if you do, you're winning a few shekels, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not even the game to me. It's not the game that I don't get or the game that I don't understand. And I don't even dislike football on a basic level. There's nothing about the game that's like, oh man, this is why I fucking hate football. It's because of this inexplicable obsession. Everybody is obsessed. Everyone in America. And I just don't understand. You can't avoid the conversations no matter where you go.
Oh, I'm with you.
Nobody can hold
a
conversation without it drifting toward football within minutes.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind and it irritates me. And I've had to walk away from so many other perfectly good conversations because all five people that I'm talking to just start talking about that. I'm like, well, that's it. This is where I check out.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. You want to talk Ghostbusters? I'll be over here.
Right.
But otherwise.
And I'm just like, oh.
This is, yeah. I'm out.
Sitting in the corner by myself. See, it's just that weird obsession that just irritates me.
Yeah, it's
and makes
more,
me like dislike a game that I don't dislike for any other reason.
Yeah, I don't hate football. I used to watch football all the time, and I kind of drifted away from it around 16 when I started getting into music and mm-hmm. started playing guitar and playing in bands. And I, you know, that was what I did on the weekend. I wasn't sitting around watching games. I was able to, you know, book into a rehearsal space and hopefully rehearse with the band. Sometimes the guys wouldn't show up because they wanted to watch football and they were out of the band. So. Right. Yeah, it's. I just kind of forgot about it, and I will occasionally watch the Super Bowl. I did this past year because our friend Corey had one here at your house at a party, and that was the first. I had to stop to think, like, wow, when was the last Super Bowl I saw, and it was actually 2008. So not bad. If I have to watch a Super Bowl every 8 years, I can live with that. Because
so you haven't seen a Super Bowl since 2008?
I haven't watched a Super Bowl. I'm not saying I haven't been in proximity to a TV where one's been playing, but I haven't actually sat and watched a game. A Super Bowl since 2008 because the Giants were playing and I had friends. I don't remember who they played against and they won that Super Bowl.
Right.
But that's when I was in California and I forget who the Giants were playing against, but friends of mine, coworkers, were all rooting for the Giants. They were having a party and I was like, fuck it, there's food. That's essentially the same reason Corey lured
me
over here.
That's the only reason I'd ever have a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
But strangely enough, this is the first one that I've actually really ever missed.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was working and I maybe got home for the last couple minutes of it, by the time I was done with my shift, and I missed pretty much the whole game.
Yeah.
And I haven't. And
I wouldn't say you've been missing it, Bob.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But as much as I don't care for football, this is the first one that I've actually not sat and watched with a group of people.
Huh.
Like, I kind of joined the party on it as much as I really don't give a shit who's playing or, I mean, I'm in it for the food and the camaraderie, but
there was, by the time he came home, there was like a half hour of time left. Like, not game time, but actual broadcast time.
Yeah, broadcast time.
For the
7 hours of post-game analysis.
Yeah. It's so funny, too, because
aside from the 10 hours of pre-game analysis.
I actually tweeted about it.
That's your bread and butter right there. It's not even the game itself. It's just the bullshit talk surrounding it, the buffers.
Yeah. Oh, that's all it is now is analysis. And particularly on TV of all stripes right now is the 1-2 punch of the Super Bowl and the upcoming
election. You fucking guys can't predict who's going to win, right? You know you can't actually do that.
Well, that's the interesting thing. And I've said this to friends of mine because there are a lot of people I know who are a lot of geek friends of ours who are into a lot of, be they podcasts, YouTube shows, whatever, who are into a lot of geek discussion. And when I see that somebody has done a devoted an episode to a teaser for some comic book movie that's coming out, and it's an 82-minute show where they analyze a 90-second clip.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, how is it you do that? But it's the exact same thing they do on sports talk radio.
Right.
And on these sports shows, which are essentially like podcasts, because except they have cameras in the room.
Right. And what's essentially an hour-long game, whether it's happened already or whether it's going to happen, they just talk for hours and hours
and just analyze every single element of it.
About what happened or what they think is going to happen, which, again, we can't predict.
Well, no, it's just about filling time. That's all it is. It's just clocking the hours of talking about it.
Yeah, this is one of the things that just really baffles me, and I can't figure it out.
Well, it's over for at least
a little while. I don't know what everyone sees in it. I don't understand.
I just, it's stop and go. I just can't get into
it.
For that
it's
reason,
stop and
I was
go.
Like,
there's so much.
It's a few seconds of, all right, and then it's
40
seconds of
nothing. There's three flags on the field, and I don't understand what happened, and, and it just pisses me off.
You're right. That's what it is for me. That's one of the reasons I couldn't, like, when I've watched it recently, or I'm going to say since I stopped watching it regularly, I just watched Giant Games with my father back in the day. And like I said, up until about around the middle of high school. And anytime I've watched it since, it's just 8 seconds of excitement, then 40 seconds of people regrouping and camera shots of the audience. And,
blah, and an hour-long game turns into 4 hours because of all the stoppage time.
Oh, yeah.
And what really pisses me off, and I've watched some games because my fiance is a big football fan, and I'll watch a game with her occasionally. And what actually really gets me heated is when a play is overturned, like a touchdown is overturned because of the instant video replay, whereas all the actual human referees on the field called it a touchdown. They're like, oh, no, let's go to the instant video replay, and we can see that his knee was on the ground or before the ball hit or whatever.
Right.
And then the whole thing gets overturned. So then why don't you just fire all the fucking referees and have robot video cameras rolling around, and they can call the plays themselves?
Well, or just at least leave it until, like, oh, sorry, let's review the tape. We don't know. I mean, you can see it, like, from whatever angle you're
obviously they're like,
standing.
Hey, touchdown. And then they're like, no, wait a minute. Oh, that's it irritates the shit out of me. Then don't let them call the plays then. Get rid of all of them and have video cameras call the plays.
Yeah.
It'd just make everyone's lives easier and stop overturning plays that already happened.
The angles, too. Just the amount of angles I'm watching.
Right.
I don't know if it's just
There's
the
so
Super
many
Bowl.
Angles. There's cameras everywhere. Just
everywhere.
Just have them do the job. Let us all off the hook.
I did find it funny how the referees in Super Bowl were all seemed to be like fit. Like on the scale of guys, they were at least like sevens, even if they were middle aged. I kind of thought that was funny.
You gotta be.
You don't have they didn't have schlubby refs.
They have to run. They have to be in shape.
No, but you see some of them, and you're like, okay, this guy is, you know, just Phil. You stand over there and just, you know, just don't get hit.
I mean, some of them move more than others. Yeah,
but it made me laugh that the ones that were okay looking were actually the ones who were reffing the Super Bowl. Kind of made me laugh. But hey, it's entertainment. It's the biggest. Not the biggest. It was like the third biggest, most viewed television broadcast in history or something like that.
Yeah.
It was way up there.
I mean,
I don't get it.
In relation, I do believe that the Monday after the Super Bowl should be a national holiday so that everyone could just have off and we can.
I'm with you. See,
come out of our food comas and our hangovers and you're up late and I can't handle being up late anymore as it is drinking or eating or not.
It's been a speedy decline.
So I would like to just lay on my ass the whole next day and not do anything.
I agree. And it's midway through, in the middle of the gap between Martin Luther King and President's Weekend. So, hey, 3-day weekend, 2 weeks later, another 3-day weekend, 2 weeks later, another 3-day weekend. So the timing's actually pretty good.
Right.
I'd be for that because of how many people are. I mean, the amount of people who call out the day after too. I mean, having worked in it,
so many people are going to call out anyway. You might as well just give everyone the day off.
Yeah, it's like it's like why do places not open later on New Year's Day? It's the same thing.
Because half the people are going to call out, and the people that do show up are going to be pretty much useless for the day. So just shut it all down.
Yeah, if you want to be efficient, just give everybody the fucking day.
You're
off.
Not coming to anyone the day after Super Bowl and expecting them to be 100%.
Do you think we would resent it more if something related to football was a national holiday?
I grapple with that, believe me.
I don't know if we'd feel better about it. We'd probably be at least a little more irritable about it. Just like, God damn it, now everybody's got an excuse.
Right. But at the same time, any day that I don't have to go to work, that's a win.
Well, that's... okay, can't argue with that.
I don't care what it's for when it comes down to it.
I saw one of your favorite products today, and it still made me laugh.
What's that?
Was Muscle Milk, because contains no milk. Is
Oh, yeah.
It might as well be part of the name.
Fucking liars.
I just laughed. I popped into a convenience store, and I saw, you know, three shelves of it, or three rows of it.
Yeah.
And just thought, oh, God, Muscle Milk.
Yeah. Makes no sense, does it?
Yeah. Well, just why would you make that as a name, knowing good and hell well it doesn't have milk in it?
Well, they have to say it, because people assume that it's, I guess, a dairy product, or that it's milk
right.
with other shit in it.
Well, when you have milk in the name, it's like saying, geez, I'm trying to think of something, French fry pizza that is not topped with French fries. Okay, right. Well, there's something missing from this.
Wait, where have you seen this?
Well, no, I'm just saying as an example. I'm sure you can get it somewhere.
I'm listening.
That's, yeah, I got your attention. Can I would order that the day after the Super Bowl while I sat home and watched TV and didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's always given us a good laugh, just because why? I don't understand. Imagine that meeting when somebody's saying, like, well, what are we going to call this? It's loaded with protein, doesn't have sugar. We could sell it to gym rats. What do you think we should call it? Muscle Milk. Yeah, it doesn't have milk in it, though. So?
Yeah, they're in a pitch room and just flinging ideas.
I want to know what names were rejected, because like, but this doesn't have any milk in it. Ah, it's just a name.
Right.
And then I wonder how many times it got rejected. Sorry, this contains no milk. You need to put that somewhere in the bottle. Where? Like, it needs to be really fucking obvious.
And it's
like
bold.
Right below the name.
Yeah, it's just right below the name, and you can't miss it.
The product might as well be called Muscle Milk Contains No Milk.
Right.
Because just make it prominent.
A sentence.
Yeah, it's that prominent.
A bad sentence, but.
I have to know what names they rejected. I have to.
Yeah. I'd be curious.
Every time I see it, I think of you, because it's one of those things that just gets you incensed. It's just like, there's no milk. Why would you call it milk?
Yeah, I do exactly that thing. Throw my hands up and down.
I had a laugh, too, that because the weather's been pretty shitty.
It has.
And I can't. I don't know, man. It's one of the reminders of why I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why I don't live here anymore. Yeah, the cold weather is really, really fucking cold. Like, as of the day before this goes up, with the wind chill, it was like 2 degrees yesterday.
Right.
Which is going to be this coming Sunday for us.
Yeah. So
it's going to be
this
really
whole weekend,
stupid
and even
cold.
Early next week is going to be stupid cold. Exactly.
Yeah. And as if that's not bad enough, I saw, because I've been doing some highway driving, toll-oriented driving.
Mm-hmm.
Because I forgot, like, oh, yeah, you need to pay to ride the highways here.
Yeah, fucking horse shit.
Tell me about it. Yeah, but isn't sales tax more money in California? Yeah, no tolls.
No tolls.
I'd rather pay another 2 cents on a dollar than have to stop for fucking toll every 11 feet.
Yep.
So that's my theory, but, you know.
I am in full agreement.
Anyway, there's a now that there's basically digital marquees everywhere, and there was one that I saw the other day when it was kind of flurrying when I was driving home. I get the message, but it was the statement, kind of like Muscle Milk contains no milk, and that's why that was kind of a precursor to this. It said, ice and snow, clear before you go. I just want to know who thought it was necessary to make that message rhyme.
Right.
Like, is it cute? It's like, oh, yeah, I should sweep the ice off my roof so
right.
it doesn't go through the person's windshield.
And, yeah, I got a little jingle, so that's going to inspire me to actually do it.
Yeah.
And follow the law.
It's strange.
I need to be prodded like a child.
Ice and snow, clear before you go. Well, the big thing is that many have complained about Los Angeles is a lot of signs say click it or ticket.
They do
that stupid.
Everywhere.
Do they do that here too?
They've always done those campaigns here, like Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been that click it or ticket campaign.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't remember. I've blocked out a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's rampant out there, and it's such a stupid thing, because I know I'm treading lightly into to Adam Carolla territory, because he always complains about it, but it's completely valid, because for the last 40 years,
right.
a tone goes off until you put your belt on in your car.
That alone should drive you nuts
yes.
enough to just put your seatbelt on. However, it's very stupid to not wear your seatbelt. Very, very, very stupid.
Come from the guy whose website.
Yes. Don't listen
it's
to me.
It's called No Seatbelt
Well, yeah,
block.
It's on in the car, off on the page.
Yes.
However, it should not be a law. You should not be forced to wear your seatbelt.
You don't think so?
No, because it doesn't. You're making a choice as an adult. You're not hurting anyone else. You should not be able to get pulled over for not having your seatbelt on.
Okay, but
I don't agree with, because you're not inflicting physical harm or even putting anyone else in danger, really, by not wearing your own seatbelt.
You kind of are if you get an accident. That's not the fault of someone else. and you didn't wear your belt and you were thrown from a windshield and died? Because now that's on the person's conscience.
Yeah,
forever.
But that's not on their legal record, however. Like, that's not their fault that you died because you weren't wearing your seatbelt. Like,
I'm not saying that's their goddamn fault. But that's still something the surviving person has to deal with forever.
Yeah,
I mean, that still sucks.
You're not endangering the safety of anyone else by not wearing your seatbelts, is what I'm saying.
I agree with that. I know there are plenty of stories where seatbelts have caused injury in accidents. I mean, Rick Allen, drummer for Def Leppard, the seatbelt actually took his arm off because he was thrown from the car, and the seatbelt kind of went straight through his fucking arm, which is scary.
They kill kids that are too small.
Yeah.
Kids have been decapitated from what I've heard and crazy shit like that.
Oh, I know there's crazy shit that happens, but I mean,
it's second nature to me. I get in the car, I put my seatbelt on. It's the first thing I do.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Like I said, it's very stupid to not wear your seatbelt. You should always wear your seatbelt. However, if you want to be stupid and not do it, that's your own fault, and you should not be punished by the police or anyone else for not wearing it, because you're really not inflicting harm on anyone else, is what I'm saying.
Well, to put it up there as far as a crime is different. I can think of worse things, and frankly, more productive things the police can do with their time than grab people who aren't wearing seatbelts.
Exactly.
I just think it's a waste of money.
If you're not speeding, or if you're not driving drunk and swerving all over the road, or doing something that's really endangering other people, if a cop's cruising by and just sees that you don't have your seatbelt on and you're not doing anything else wrong, you shouldn't be able to be pulled over just for that. Is what I'm saying.
Well. Like I said, not a crime, though.
It's
not ticketing you.
Right, it's about ticketing you, and it's a money grab, and it's just, don't get me started on all that.
Oh, yeah, I know. This could be days. A marathon episode of the show. Mm-hmm. You just complain about moving and non-moving violations. Mm-hmm. But it's more the waste of the signs for me, because it's impossible to avoid. It's not like there isn't a chime that goes off in the car or something to remind you. It's, of all the things you could advertise on the road, not even remotely. And I've also have a problem with the cutesy click it or ticket, because it has to rhyme.
Right.
Ice and snow, clear before you go. It's like, don't fucking,
don't patronize me.
Yeah, thank you. I was trying to patron, you know what I mean, goddammit. But it doesn't need to rhyme. It's just like, clear ice and snow off your goddamn roof. That's exactly what it should say on that sign on the parkway.
Yeah, I'd pay to see that. Clear off your goddamn car.
Yeah. Clear off your roof. Don't fuck over the person behind you. I want to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I get that over some of these other inane signs, because I can't tell you how many people I have seen following the handful of snowfalls that have been happening in the 2 weeks I've been here already, where people didn't clean off their roof or the rear windshield or whatever. It's like, but what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Seriously?
I mean, I for one like to see out of my rear windshield while I'm driving, so I would clear that off. Yes.
But it would make me edgy to drive around knowing there was snow on my roof, because you can hear it moving around, especially when you're going on a 65-mile-an-hour highway.
Right.
You can't miss it. So wouldn't that make you at least a little edgy knowing that you're driving with an ice sheet on the top of your car that could go flying off at 68 miles an hour at any moment?
It would make me a little nervous,
that's so weird to me.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. But again, it's the rhyming that bothers me about it more than anything else. Just the fact you need to turn it into, fucking Dr. Seuss.
Maybe they think that's the only way that people are going to get it.
Because
everyone's just kind of stupid. this will stick in their heads.
Make it rhyme. Listen, if you just put it out, there's a straightforward message. People are dumb and they're not going to remember.
Right.
So you're going to have to make sure that it rhymes. That made me laugh, though. Ice and snow, clear before you go. I just thought, who is that? Someone's job.
Yeah.
You realize somebody makes their
living. You just kind of roll your eyes and keep walking. You're like, really?
Somebody gets a check for that.
That's
so weird. Instead of just like, clean off your car before you leave. Yes, roof too. Like, make it that. Make
yes,
it something
roof
a little
too.
More straightforward. Yeah, your roof too. All right. The other night, actually following the Super Bowl, you and I were just kind of chatting / arguing a bit about movies.
As usual.
Because
you hate movies.
Apparently. I hate movies. Yeah. That's been
it's the running joke.
Yeah. That I hate movies and that I go to movies to have a bad time. But anyway, it somehow came up. It may have been when Ryan was talking about his enjoyment of the Fast and Furious series. I don't know.
We're trying to remember what movie we were
Yeah, we can't remember
about.
What movie it was. But basically, the idea was that the subject turned to, I know it's not good, but I like it anyway.
Right.
And there are a bunch of examples of that where it's like, I know this is just, I know it's a bad movie.
And that's for everyone, too.
Everybody has those.
Everyone has those movies that they know are just dumb and aren't really good movies, but they're like, you know what? I just enjoy it anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to justify it to you.
Well, like, what are some on your list that you're, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you about them, but.
I mean, first couple Transformers movies, what else? The Fast and Furious movies, like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact that you know the Transformers movies aren't good makes me feel a little better. I'm heartened by the fact that
they're not. They're not good. I mean, they cost millions of dollars to make, and they're flashy, and they look good.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, no one argued the merits of how incredible the movies look.
Right,
but you'd be hard pressed to find a more hollow franchise,
right,
than the Transformers movies.
I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and say actually most of the movies I like aren't really good.
No, that's not true.
If we're talking not necessarily even merit, but just what's the word I'm looking for? Well, yeah, merit. Exactly.
Okay.
That is the word I was looking for.
That's a good one.
Fuck.
I'm tripping over my words like crazy going tonight. So maybe you and I are just a little
join
off.
You. Yeah.
That's what we get.
But
I mean, you're drinking.
Yeah, I mean, as far as recognition is concerned, as far as critical acclaim is concerned, as far as non-critical acclaim is concerned, just all of that. A lot of the movies that I like don't rate very high on any of those scales, but they rate very high on my scale. And that's all
what
that
counts.
Matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's the fun thing is how subjective film is, because
right.
What could be enjoyed by you isn't enjoyed by me, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion's no more valid than yours, so
even though
we
it still
kind of
pisses me off.
Well, that's
like, how could you not like this movie?
Oh yeah, you get so frustrated with the
like,
fact
you're
that
such
I just
an idiot. Everyone likes this movie except for you.
Like what?
What's
there
wrong
one,
with you?
Is there one you can think of off the top of your head that everybody likes that I don't?
Oh, if you gave me a minute, I'm sure I could think of 100.
I know there's one, even though I haven't seen it in years, and then frankly have to watch it again. But I know there's one that everybody likes that you don't.
And what is that?
Blade Runner.
I fucking hate that movie.
I know. You were.
I watched it once, and that was more than enough. I was so bored.
I don't.
Like, painfully bored.
Really?
Not just like where I could like look at my phone and just be like, okay, you know, it's background noise. Like, I hated it. It was so goddamn boring.
But that's a movie, like, plenty of people like it. Like, people
oh, I know.
Love that fucking movie.
I know, and apparently it was cutting edge for its time, and mm-hmm. blah, 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 set a sci-fi standard and all that, but I would never watch that movie again. I would not subject
myself
to it.
And you dissuaded me from rewatching it, because I said, I don't remember that movie. It's been years since I've seen it. And you said, don't even fucking bother.
Yeah.
Like, you're wasting your time. That movie's so boring.
I couldn't pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. I was just so bored. Like, that would be a movie if I was in the theater, I would walk out mm-hmm. of it.
Is there one you can think of for me? I know there's definitely. That was one that jumps out for you, because I know that's one you've repeatedly argued with people that I know is a beloved movie that you
right.
just can't abide.
I can't think of one right now.
Okay, here's an easier one. What about actors who everyone's like, oh, that person's great, they're so good, and you just don't see it? Everybody loves someone. I don't want to throw any names out, because I don't want to suggest. I know there are a few.
Are there? Well, then throw them out.
You have to. No, I'm saying for you. There must be somebody who just like, everybody loves this actor, and I just don't get it. Or I just don't think he's that great. Like, someone who's overrated, in your opinion? Nobody. You can't everybody. This is horseshit. You're
no,
so
it's,
opinionated.
It's not that. I can't think of anyone where I'm just like, eh.
Really?
No.
Hmm.
Well, what about you?
You know what? Because I can't name anything of his I do like. I'm going to have to go with Seth Rogen, because everybody likes Seth Rogen. I've seen a couple of his movies. I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
It's just
I mean,
not my sense of humor.
But that's understandable. Not everyone likes him.
Oh, but
there's
I know,
plenty
but
of people that are like that know he just plays a stoner and everything. And
but he doesn't anymore.
It's tired.
Now he's playing the straight man. So he's kind of turned around in The Interview and in Neighbors and the upcoming Neighbors too. Like, he's the straight man. He's not the goofy stoner anymore.
That's true.
And
in a couple. But for the most part, the vast majority of mm-hmm. his resume is stoner, basically. They could not even a name mm-hmm. really. It's just, it could be a stoner, maybe his character name and everything.
Speaking of which, actually, because thinking about the Super Bowl commercials, another one, Amy Schumer. Nothing against her, but just doesn't. I just don't find her funny. Not saying she's not talented.
I've really never watched anything she's been in. despite mm-hmm. all the hype and all the love and yeah. praise that she gets. I just don't know if I'm not interested enough to go and check out anything.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just don't see enough to waste my time. It just doesn't click with me.
Yeah. See, I get that too. And I'm not, like I said, I know a lot of people love Amy Schumer right now. She's the authority on all things funny, according to pop culture. And that was Louis C.K. 2 years ago, mm-hmm. where he was the authority on all things funny.
Right.
You know, the pinnacle of the comedy world. And she's that right now.
And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that she is a woman, and people still think that women aren't funny. So because she's a funny woman, she's funnier than she normally would
Nobody
be.
Nobody actually thinks women aren't funny. There's a weird thing. Do you really
secretly,
think so?
I think some people still think that. Yes.
I mean, there's a weird... I had this conversation on the show several weeks ago with Sherry, and I said... Because we were talking about with regards to the bullshit with the Oscars and, you know, as far as how everything breaks down, as far as gender, as far as race, and all these other things. And I'm not saying there aren't women stand-up comics, but I'm sure there are more male stand-up comics than female. I could be wrong. It's just my assumption, because the amount I see of each, I always see way more males.
It's definitely still male dominated, without a doubt.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is. But I mean, even my sister's opinion, because she kind of doesn't get what the big deal is when it comes to that argument either. She's like, her favorites are George Carlin, Robin Williams, and Craig Ferguson. She's like, all my favorites are men, and it's not mm-hmm. something that bothers me. Like, why aren't women out there being funny? Or, you know, why aren't they getting a fair shake, blah, blah, blah? Because I refute that women are being held back in some regard. It's just they haven't clicked. So I kind of agree with that, where I think there's more of an affection for her strictly because there's a thing for anybody who's not a white male right now.
Right.
that's kind of, you know, the
if you're not a straight white
male,
middle class male,
yeah,
then if you're doing something that,
or upper class male,
upper class male, if you're doing something that sect of people is normally good at, then mm-hmm. you're going to be on a pedestal.
Yeah, you're
going to
be
essentially.
Yeah. Well, it's easier for you to get on the pedestal.
Right.
I think. I mean, at least right now. But see, the problem is, with that debate specifically, when it comes to who's funny or who's funnier, if you're going to try to simplify it with a stereotype, there are only three answers to that question. Men are funnier. Women are funnier. They're both equally as funny.
Right.
They're not equally as funny. That's just not... All things are not equal, as much as millennials want it to be that way.
Right.
All things are not equal to a fault. So it's going to be men are funnier, women are funnier. It's not one isn't funny at all. It's not men got all the funny, women just don't have it. Sorry.
Exactly.
It's not a case of that, but everybody wants to make it about, you know, what do you mean women can be funny? Of course women are funny. Amy Poehler's funny. Tina Fey's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, and nobody's going to argue that. People love Amy Schumer. So it's not.
Obviously,
I don't
something's
think
there,
argument.
Even if we don't necessarily get it
totally.
Or care. Obviously, a lot of people like them for a reason.
Right. Right, yeah.
and it's funny too. It's not deniable.
Well, because I mean, even from you, when it comes to some, I can't think of any comedies off the top of my head. But when it's come to certain things, when it's like, I'll give an example for someone else who everybody loves, who I don't particularly like, Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't get into his, and I've seen a bunch of his movies,
right?
And he's always the weak spot for me, and almost, or even something like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, where he's barely in it. I'm just like, if I could remove one element from this movie, it'd be him.
He is extremely hit or miss for me.
Yeah,
and I mean extremely hit or miss. Sometimes I absolutely love him, like in Anchorman,
mm-hmm.
and other times I wish he would just go away forever. When I see some of the movies that he's in,
mm-hmm.
like whether it's Get Hard or Daddy's Home, when he does shit like that.
Both the same movie in the same year.
They're both the same movie in the same year. And when he does shit like that it drives me batshit. And I want him to go away. Sometimes I think he's brilliant in a comedic sense, and other times I think he's phoning it in.
Right.
And I don't want to have anything to do with it.
See, I've had that conversation.
And I just think it's so stupid.
There are more people who've just said, like, oh my God, how can you not like Anchorman? How can you not like Step Brothers? You know, just there are a bunch of movies.
Step Brothers, I love. Like, that's one of my other favorites from him. But,
see, specifically,
then he does, like, absolute garbage sometimes.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Especially recently. Well, there seems to be, like, it seems to be dying out a little bit, but, like, Daddy's Home was a huge hit, way more than I think anybody thought.
So many people were going to see it. I would look up and down my Facebook news feed, and everyone's like, oh, watching Daddy's Home. I'm like, well, are you fucking kidding me? Why is everyone going to see this? What?
I was surprised by that, too, especially opening at Christmas, on the back of Star Wars. I mean, you know, a week later, but really, like, I was surprised by it.
And I like Mark Wahlberg, too, but there's, mm-hmm. even the two of them together would never be enough to make me go see that movie.
But see, it's when it comes to comedy, and this is the conversation I've had with people, and a lot of people get it, but some people are just like, you're crazy. I can't believe it. Can't believe you don't like Will Ferrell. When it comes to laughter, I look at it the same way when it comes to what you're scared of or what makes you cry or whatever. It needs to be, it can't be a conscious thing to just laugh. It needs to be involuntary. If something makes you laugh, it makes you laugh.
Right.
And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's why, like, I used to not understand when I was a kid when people would say, your guys like Mel Brooks say, just like, you know, oh, comedy's hard. Comedy's tough. It's not, you know, do it's much easier to do something like drama. And they used to not make sense to me as a kid. But the older I get, the more I realize, or the more, I guess, just life experience I've had is everybody has different taste in comedy because everybody finds different things funny.
Right.
When it comes to drama, there are certain things that are always going to get people. Heartbreak, death. I mean, even when thrillers, when a child gets kidnapped or a significant other. Or so, like, there are different things with genres that will work consistently. And frankly, that's why dramas always win at the Oscars, because the same things always work. You know, history gets a lot of people, you know, moves people. Mm-hmm. But comedy, everybody finds different things funny. So you can't really gauge what is funny and what isn't, because everybody has different tastes. So I kind of, you know, like I said, the older I've gotten, the more I understand the statement, oh yeah, comedy is hard, because you're not going to appeal to everybody. There's no way you can appeal to everybody.
Right.
Because there's not, I could tell you plenty of people are just like, oh, I don't like Clerks. Mm-hmm. Oh, that movie, that was just stupid. Like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like people talking about the football. You know,
people are listening to us about football, and they're like, yeah, well, you two don't know what's good.
So. Yeah. It's like, well, what do you do? Yeah. Or like, I know people who don't like Ghostbusters.
All right, let's stop right there. That is blasphemy. Okay. Blasphemy.
I'm sure you remember. In fact, I'm sure it's burned into your brain. And obviously now, ex-girlfriend of mine who refused to
left watch with bruises the night that you tricked her into watching it, too.
And the thing is, we watched, we were here. We were at your house.
Yes.
We had just watched, it was our little premiere party for the Running Amok in Boston documentary that we did. And we were hanging out afterwards. And kind of as a joke, I pulled Ghostbusters out of your DVD rack, slipped it in the machine, and put it on. And then, I mean,
you just kind of grinned, and then she just started wailing.
Oh, she was so upset, and sat, and we watched the whole movie, and at the end, she'd never seen it in all her years, and had no interest, despite being encouraged by friends, by the way, male and female, and just, mm-hmm. she wasn't having it. At the end of it, I was just like, well, what'd you think? And she said, it was even worse than I thought it was going to be. And I was just...
you're hopeless.
Yeah, I couldn't believe... And that's one of those things, like, I just can't... I can't explain it to you.
Yeah. If you still don't get it after having watched it...
if you're not into it,
I can't help you.
Well, it's also, she was a few years younger than me, so she grew up in the 90s, so she didn't have the same point of reference. Like, she'd never seen Back to the Future, so we went and saw it, but it was about a year earlier, because it was, the 25th anniversary, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was almost 2 years earlier than that, come to think of it. But anyway, she'd never seen that because she always thought it was like some sci-fi. She thought it was like Star Trek or something. She didn't know. Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I mean. She just didn't know what it was, really. So I said, you have to go see it. And goddamn, am I jealous of you, because your first experience is going to be seen in the theater and it's so great. And she did enjoy it.
Right.
But because she didn't know it was comedy. So
there's an example, actually, of something that I think is incredibly overrated that everyone in the world loves.
Right.
And I just don't. I don't hate it, but
you don't get it.
Yeah, and like I just have no desire to ever watch them again.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Back
I'm just
to the
like,
Future.
Yeah,
that's true.
And I understand that everyone loves it, and it's a 80s
it's
masterpiece.
It's
a classic, but I'm just like, eh. you couldn't sit me down again, unless there was something to sweeten the pot.
You know, funnily enough, I had that conversation with my sister when it came to Ghostbusters, and we went and saw it. I forget what's. I think it was maybe the anniversary screenings that they did. 2 years ago when they had the 30th anniversary and it was back in theaters, and I was going to go see it anyway. I said, you've never seen it. Come on, it's in the theater. But it was one of those, and she loves everything 80s. Her and I are both children of the 80s, or just love everything from that decade. I mean, almost everything. But she saw it, and she just, you know, she didn't walk away with any, she didn't dislike it, but she doesn't revere it the way we do. And she's 3 years older than me. And just never had any inclination. Not that she doesn't like Bill Murray or Dan Aykroyd or Hal Raymond or comedy, because more funny than anything else. It is
of
literally
course.
A comedy.
It is a comedy.
It's got other elements to it, but it's it just didn't, I don't know, it just didn't move her. Can't explain it. But yeah, but that's true. Back to the Future was one of, have you thought of any actors yet? Or like I'm saying the example, like Will Ferrell, Seth Rogen, certain people I just don't find funny. Is there anybody who you're like, I don't get? Well, let's move beyond.
I'm having
that.
A hard time. Yeah, just
like you have,
coming
the, up you
with
have the same thing when it comes to
like I'll 2 days from now I'll be like, oh man, I got one.
I know that's the problem. Yeah. Is you're gonna reflect on it and be like, ah, shit, I can't believe I forgot that. Well, just moving away from movies specifically, like one of your things I know is you haven't seen have no desire to see Orange Is the New Black.
Yeah, no,
and it's
no
it's one of those things, or even like or the way everybody's going apeshit right now about Making a Murderer. Oh my God, you have to watch it. Yeah, no, I don't. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean,
I just don't care. I'm not saying it's not good.
Yeah, I watched it. I was interested in watching it, and
that's it.
it was everything that I heard it was, and it made me mad. Like people told me it would make me mad, but you don't have to watch it, and I'm sure a lot of it's already probably been ruined for you.
No, I don't know anything about it. I just have no interest. I'm not saying it's not. It's one of those things where, like, I'm not saying it's not good. I'm not into it. I'm not turned on by it.
Right.
It's kind of like when the Oscar. I mean, granted, I've seen a bunch of the Oscar nominees this year just because I was genuinely interested in them. But there are a lot of times where, like, oh, man, you haven't seen. Oh, what was something? Oh, like 12 Years a Slave. Oh, you haven't seen that? No, I'm sure it's a great movie. I'm sure it's well done. I have no qualms with it. I'm just not into it.
Just not into it.
Yeah, yeah, I just don't. That doesn't look like a good time. Or American Sniper was another one. Oh my God, you have to watch it. No, it just doesn't look like a
good
time. You don't
have to watch it.
Well, no, I don't.
It was and it, I it was good, but
that's what everybody says. Well, it really
it's
gets
not
into
earth shattering. It's a war movie, like a lot of other ones you've probably seen.
Sure. Well,
like,
yeah,
like
and
Black
was,
Hawk Down or The Hurt Locker. It's
yeah,
like,
and I've seen all those
exactly along those lines.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's so drastically different. And I know it's the same thing. It's based on a true story, so I'm not saying there isn't some weight to it.
Right.
And it's weird, too, because people will get on your case. I mean, look, for me, when it comes to TV, like, I've never been into Seinfeld or Friends, and people think I'm fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't, which is funny, because I just kind of exploded into my Jerry Seinfeld before. And what's the deal?
Oh, what is the deal?
Like, I can do that generic Jerry Seinfeld thing, not just because I know
I don't know.
Style. Like, I've watched it, or like, everyone's raving about X-Files. I watched X-Files when it was on Fox for a couple of weeks and just didn't get into it.
Mm-hmm.
But people get so incensed, like they get so mad, just like, oh, how can you not? It's amazing. I don't feel like I get that way. Maybe I was that way when I was younger, but the older I get, I'm just not up for the argument anymore.
Right.
Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is. I think you're just like, oh, fuck it. I'm never going to win.
Well, it's also a matter of, I don't care if people aren't as into it, because in my mind, it's like, well, you're missing out.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes
down
to.
You go about your day.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I just go back to kind of whatever I was doing. And then I go home and put it on and say, man, they're fucking nuts.
Yeah. Idiots. More for me.
It's weird, though, that whole thing of people getting offended. I've noticed, actually, within the last year specifically, there's this either or. And I don't know if it's... you know what? I don't really know where it came from. I always feel like there's been the debate of just like, you know, you Star Trek guy or you Star Wars guy. Or... Because it used to be just guys. Now right. It's everybody. But
I'm sure people that were into one were probably into the other as well.
Oh, but you
know, when they're two very similar things.
But all the shit talking that's going on now is like, you know, like Batman Superman is going to be better than the Avengers and DC movies are going to kick the shit out of Marvel. It's like.
Probably not.
But, well, probably not. But aside from that, there's this whole sense of like, why does it have to be one or the other? Like, right. I like the Michael Keaton Batman and I like Christian Bale's Batman.
Yeah.
Why does everybody need to choose like one or the other?
Most nerds today are going to see all of these movies.
Totally.
All of them. And they're going to enjoy all of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't have to pick a side. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pick Marvel or DC.
Right.
Yeah, so I get what you're saying. I'm going to watch them all.
Yeah.
And I don't have a preference necessarily. I love Batman. I love the Avengers.
You know, like, I feel like you're cheating
yourself. One side
doesn't
have to win.
Yeah.
For me.
Well, I mean, and I know that's existed for a long time. There's been this fan rivalry with DC and Marvel. And this, look, from everything I've heard, and again, not a show business insider, but I've heard they have a very good working relationship. And even though it could be adversarial, like, I think Batman vs. Superman was going to open on the same day as Civil War for a little while, and then they backed it up to March.
Uh-huh.
And I think it serves everybody just to have even that tension just because it builds awareness, even though, frankly, I don't think Marvel needs a whole hell of a lot of awareness. But
nope.
Or Batman vs. Superman just because the name, even though I think people are like, why are Batman and Superman fighting? I think average people are kind of thrown by that.
Don't they become friends? Aren't they in Justice League together?
Judging by that last trailer, everybody's like, they become friends. What's all the fighting about?
We just saw in the trailer that we know how it's going to end.
I know. That's the fun. I'm not going to get all geeky about it. My expectations for that movie are like ankle high. I have such little enthusiasm for that movie. Not saying I'm not going to see it, but I'm just not expecting. Ben Affleck's the only thing I like about it, as I've said before. I'm not into any of the casting or story or whatever.
And we're in the minority with that, too, as far as Affleck as Batman.
No.
As far as being okay with it, if not.
A lot of people
favoring it.
A lot of people shut up about it, though.
Yeah,
it used to.
Most
it was
people
a bigger
shut up
deal.
About it by Dude. Now. But
look, when I saw The World's End and it was the marathon, I actually talked about it on the show at the time. It was 2013. So one of the early episodes of Cape that went up end of August, beginning of September 2013. I was at the Arclight in Hollywood. And because it was the final film in the Cornetto trilogy, they were showing Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and The World's End. Anyway, there was a break in between, I think, between Hot Fuzz and before they started the Q. They did a Q&A. Edgar Wright, Nick Frost, and Simon Pegg did a Q&A before World's End and then came back to do one after the movie if you want to ask questions about World's End. It was pretty awesome. But in between, some fucking geek yells out, Ben Affleck's Batman, because that announcement came out while one of the movies was showing. And all of a sudden, it's like boos from the audience. I mean, first of all, I was like, "What? Does this dick just want attention just because it was announced?" And second of all, everybody immediately goes back to like, "What, Geely?" And I'm like, he's done more than that within the last 10 years. His movie won Best Picture last year. But anyway.
Yeah. Did you guys forget about that?
Yes. The answer was yes.
The movie that he acted in and directed.
Yeah, totally. Which is a feat. Yeah. Yeah. And the one before that was pretty highly acclaimed, too, The Town.
Yeah.
So maybe lighten up about it. But no, I really think that's turn of the corner, and there's not the hatred that there was. And the jokes aren't there because people are like, oh, shit, this looks serious.
Right.
Yeah, the end of that trailer, just the fact that it ends with them with a little playful pat. Or she with you? I thought she was with you.
Yeah.
I can't even do his Batman, but it sounds like totally digital to me. Right. Like entirely put together in post-production. And then they're standing there, and Wonder Woman's in between him, and that's Batman v Superman. It's like, no, we just saw them be friends.
Yeah.
Like literally before that title came up. It's such a weird... I don't know.
But
everyone
who's
name,
into the universe knows that they end up in Justice League together and that they are friends.
Of course. But a lot of people seem to be confused. Like, why are Batman and Superman
so
fighting?
On that level, I don't understand why they're even making this movie. I'm excited about it and I want to see it. But this is like an origin story somewhat that doesn't need to be shown because we know where they end up.
Well, and that was one of the things that kind of bothered me about it. About a movie that hasn't come out yet. No, because once again, they go into some flashback of Batman's parents getting killed in the alley. Like, everybody knows that
fucking story.
Yeah, we know that. We've seen it in movies at least twice already.
Mm-hmm.
And we just came off a Batman series.
Right.
Less than 4 years ago? Yeah.
We
summer
all,
2012.
We don't need to know where Batman came
everybody,
from.
Anybody who goes to the movies knows. And at the same time, a lot of people are confused as to whether or not this has to do with the Christian Bale movies. Why isn't Christian Bale Batman? That's not, like, there are a lot of people who just don't get that this is its own story, but
right.
DC's 1-1. I mean, they had Man of Steel, mm-hmm. which was a hit, but still polarizing to people.
Right.
A lot of people don't like it. And Green Lantern, which nobody liked, which is now dead.
Right.
You know, like they're not following that story anymore. That's now not part of this universe. So they needed something big to kind of get people back.
Yeah.
So they had to have this movie and then DC's Guardians of the Galaxy villain movie, Suicide Squad, come out the same
right.
year because they need to make up some ground. But again, same thing. Like, if you want to be technical about it, like Fox has been cranking out awesome X-Men movies for a long time.
Yeah.
Minus two. I've enjoyed all of them.
Yeah.
I didn't like the third X-Men movie, didn't like the first Wolverine movie. But otherwise, I like all those movies.
Exactly.
They're a lot of fun. So it's not this, it's just kind of weird, this competition, just like, oh, DC or Marvel, whatever. Dude, I just go see the movies, so I'm not that super invested. I don't follow the TV shows. I'm not that super invested in it. I don't know. There's this weird thing, though, that I've noticed more and more. I don't know beyond the stuff you've been into if you've seen that. But it seems like people are taking sides for whatever.
There's no reason to.
No, there's no reason. I mean, it's fun for the purpose of
there's going to be like a fucking dozen nerdy movies that are going to come out this year, and I'm going to see all of them. I don't care where they come from.
Some of them might be good. I think we spent a disproportionate amount of time on Deadpool and comic book movies on the last episode, but it was also with different people. But I think there's five this year because there's Beavis, as I've been calling Batman v Superman, because the initials are BVS. Even the title.
So clever.
What?
You.
Me calling it Beavis?
Yeah.
No, well, just as clever as saying V instead of Versus. So, you know, fuck you. But there's that, Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. There's Doctor Strange and Civil War.
Right.
X-Men Apocalypse. Is that it?
X-Men Apocalypse.
I think so.
Yeah.
Five of them?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. I'm not saying, oh, they're gonna start.
Right.
To
I
ship
mean,
the bed
as
soon.
Far as that kind of that universe.
Yeah.
You have Ghostbusters, obviously, which. As far as nerds are concerned, like that's the movie that if they're watching all the Marvel movies, they're going to watch Ghostbusters too.
Yeah. Well, that's why
it's all in the same realm of sci-fi or fantasy or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exaggerated reality.
So this is the year of the nerd when it comes to cinema, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But it's going to be packed.
But it's not a thing anymore, and it's something I've this is the episode of the show where I rehash everything. No, but I said, I wonder, like, it's not a big deal anymore, and I wonder if Star Wars fans are pissed, because it's like, well, everybody loves Star Wars. You know, it used to be a novelty if a girl liked Star Wars.
Right.
Just any, like, oh, man. Any female.
I know we're like, 12 right now, but I'm going to fucking marry this chick.
Yeah. Whereas now when I see girls in Star Wars stuff, it's just like, well, she's not a nerd. Or all these girls wearing, like, the fashion specs with, like, the thick rimmed glasses and a BB-8 shirt. It's like, okay, you're not a nerd because you like Star Wars. Fucking everybody likes Star Wars.
Right.
It's not an exclusive thing anymore. If nothing
else. And we know
else,
you just got that shirt at Hot Topic because
totally.
You liked it and you don't even know who BB-8 is.
Dude, everybody... fucking Nordstrom's has Star Wars shirt section, so it's everywhere, and Walmart has them too. So it's not like a, you know, Star Wars is as mainstream as it gets. I just wonder if the nerds are actually pissed about that.
Right.
Like, this used to be ours, and now everybody likes
now
it.
Everyone has it.
I don't know if they're pissed about that, because it's like, or same thing with a comic book fan. I mean, comic book fan, they're always going to be the incorrigible fanboys who are never going to like the movies because, like, there's so much more to the story.
Yeah, but, you want the movie to be 7 hours long?
Well, no, but it's also like what works on the page doesn't translate. It's a different medium.
Exactly.
We've said it 1,000 times. Like, when it comes to people criticizing Harry Potter and everything else, did you hear there's now going to be an 8th book?
No,
did
not hear that.
That was just made official today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't heard it.
It takes place 19 years after the last book. So
does that mean there's going to be another movie?
I'm sure there will be. I know.
I'm in.
I'm excited about Fantastic
so
Beasts as well. That's
it looks
gonna be
good.
Cool.
Yeah.
That
I'm
is
in.
Gonna be,
I'm
and,
in for that.
And the fact that she wrote it, too, is, and that's another thing people... It's so funny. People get so mad. I don't know if it's nerds. It has to be, because the average person doesn't know who wrote Harry Potter. Even if they know the movies, they may know J.K. Rowling if you say the name.
If you see the name, but like,
but the
if
average,
you were just asked cold, you,
the people who go
most
see,
people probably don't know.
The people who go to the movies 10 times a year, if that. Or, like, you know, every 2 months, go see one movie.
Right.
They don't know, and it doesn't matter. But just the fact that people get so incensed, like, she's never written a screenplay before. Yeah, except she wrote everything, every fucking word of that entire story.
Right.
I'm pretty sure she can handle writing a movie. And also, they translated insanely well.
Yeah.
You know, those books, because they were so rich and full of... I keep telling myself I'm gonna read those books, and I have yet to do it.
Yeah, I'm never going to do it.
I know.
Yeah,
well,
I
am tempted, because they were recently released for the first time as digital audiobooks on Audible.com, the internet's leading provider
of
digital audiobooks. I know, I should bust into a spot. But I was, seriously, if you are a fan, if you were looking to get onto I really wasn't going to bust into a spot. I just saw there was a comedic exit that could be taken before we get back on the pod highway. Thank you. But I was thinking about getting them because they're available as audiobooks. It's been fucking long. The last book's like 28 hours or something, because it's a tome. You know, I mean, Deathly Hallows is a big fucking book. Like, you could probably beat someone to death in two strokes with that.
You could ruin someone's day, definitely.
You get any of them for free if you go to audibletrial.com/cape. Free audiobook download. Don't shake your fucking head at me. I'm going to pay the bills. I got rent, motherfucker. No.
I love it.
But anyway. You can, though. Any book of your choice. I am tempted because of that. It's not the same experience as reading the book, particularly fantasy. It's different when I get a book like... Jim Gaffigan's books, and he's kind of reading the book to me. It's different than hearing something that's fiction, even though the dude who, I can't remember the name of the guy who narrates the books, and they're the same versions that have been out on CD for ages. I mean, he does voices and everything and performs the books, but it's still not the same experience listening to that as it is listening to somebody who's writing like a humor book.
Right.
Or an autobiography or whatever. But I keep saying, I know there's a lot more in there and I'd like to know, even though I watch those movies like every 3 years, I'll watch them all. It's been a while since I've seen him, but I'm really excited the prospect of that there's going to be another book and then another movie, because who doesn't want to see what happens with that?
I'm excited about that, too. I would definitely be in to watch that.
Still
definitely.
Haven't thought of anything that's overrated, huh?
No, you're overrated. Okay?
That's untrue. You love me. You can't even... Yeah, I'll stop it. Yeah. You're doing this for show.
Oh, shit, I'm caught.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
How is it I can name things I don't know you're not into, and you're just like... All you
know.
Do is complain. You walk around. You're not a miserable guy, but you
complain
about everything.
I'm not good with stuff like that when I'm put on the spot. Like, when the second, like, oh, okay, I got it. No, I can't do it.
In case you haven't.
Like, you should have approached me like last week, and I would have come up with a list.
Well, I figured you knew offhand. You always seem like you have things chambered where it's just like,
I hate too much stuff for me to think of specifics.
Apparently.
On the spot.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Well, listen, if you aren't already, having listened to this, followed Ryan on the various social media platforms.
Yeah,
or
what
visit
are you waiting
his,
for?
His site, noseatbeltblog.com. He's going to be writing a follow-up blog to actually tell you what he thinks is
I might, yeah.
Why.
Well, now I have the inspiration.
You're fucking
I
welcome.
Wasn't expecting this.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised. Well, I know Blade Runner you bitched about. We just talked about Orange is the New Black. How, like, why is it people, everyone's just like, why are you not watching this thing everybody's watching?
We touched on plenty of stuff. And like, there's a lot of stuff. I'm like, still, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, there's one. That's
you
true.
You couldn't pay me to watch any of those movies.
And you were that way with Harry Potter for a while.
For a while.
You were just like, ah, wizard kids. Yeah, fuck
but
that.
I'm holding fast on Lord of the Rings because I can't adequately put into words my disinterest in ever watching any of those movies. Like, no words can really describe like what you'd have to do to me, what you'd have to threaten me with to get me to sit down and watch any of them.
Dude, I've seen all the movies. I've seen the extended versions of those movies. And they're great, but I'd be hard-pressed to name seven characters from each movie without any repeats. I enjoy the movies, but I'm not hardcore about it like people are.
Right. I just don't care. I don't care what I'm missing. I don't I don't want those 10 hours of my life to go towards that. I don't know what else to say. And people bust my balls about it all the time, specifically about those movies.
Well, we have sat through four Transformers movies.
And the pestering and the ball busting will never get me to do it.
I get it.
I can't.
Which I'm fine. Again, if you're not into it,
that
you're
whole,
not into
that
it.
That whole fantasy realm, like that specifically, I'm just not into it. I don't care. I'm never going to read the books. I don't want to watch the movies.
What was the bet Corey and Jack had? They made some deal. If you watch, Corey made Jack watch Attack on Titan, the anime series.
Correct.
And Jack made Corey watch South Park because Corey's never been hot on South Park.
Yeah.
All right, South Park also isn't everyone's taste. I don't even
watch
the show
anymore.
Yeah, and I don't have anything against it.
I haven't in years.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not like I just stopped following it and
I just
you know,
lost
there's
interest.
Nothing that there's nothing that turned me off from it. I just kind of stopped watching it. It's one of those things where I was kind of surprised and thinking because like I don't want you to watch Lord of the Rings if you're not into it because you're just gonna have a bad time.
Right.
So I get it. I was kind of surprised in that I can't imagine like our friend Jack would like anime because he didn't seem drawn to anything remotely close to that.
Right. Like, why would you make a deal like that?
Yeah. Well, not only that, but like, does Corey believe Jack would actually enjoy it if he watched it? Because I don't think I have friends who are nuts about anime. I have a bunch of friends who are nuts about anime. I just can't get past the animation style and the acting. And there are a lot of things that just keep me from enjoying it. I just can't. In the same way,
I mean, it's a bad deal in both directions. To
yeah.
Me. Because honestly, if there was something I know you've been avoiding and because you just have no interest and you know you'd hate it.
Fast and Furious. Let's go with that.
Yeah, even if I sat you down and made you watch one of those movies, even if you ended up enjoying it, that enjoyment for me is not enough to justify like having to sit through something that I don't like and I'm not interested in.
Totally.
And taking that risk where I'm like, oh man, well, this is a bum deal because I still hated what you made me watch, even though you liked what I made you watch and I kind of proved you wrong on that. Like, I still got the shit end of the stick.
I mean, you and Jack made a similar deal, I guess it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where it was with Pain and Gain and World War Z.
Yeah.
Wasn't that it? He didn't want to see Pain and Gain. You didn't want to see World War Z.
Right.
But you both ended up liking the movies.
Yeah, and we paid for each other's tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it evened out. I mean, in a case like that, it worked, but it was also like, well, I'm going to see the movie anyway. It's not
And we both kind of liked both of them.
Yeah.
You I mean, like, obviously, the best part of Pain and Gain was that random Striper reference.
Was
like
it?
Like, the characters in the movie just randomly liked the band Striper for some reason.
Huh.
Yeah.
No
so,
idea.
That like, we just kind of looked at each other and we just started giggling in the movie theater. That song, To Hell with the Devil, from them makes me fucking giggle like an idiot, too, whenever it's on. It's so silly. It was on the radio the other day. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me, guys?
Well, all you listen to is Hair Nation. So
I do, yeah. Hair Nation loves that song.
Yeah. Which I wonder, is it for the kitsch quality of the song?
It is. Yeah.
It has to be, right?
I mean, it does have a pretty bitchin' guitar solo, I will
admit.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, well, that's the thing. Like, you can't refute
I mean,
the talent.
Musically, it's awesome, but I'm like, this is incredibly silly.
Well, especially from a Christian metal band. It's
right.
Like, dude, you guys, this is way too on the nose. Like, the fact that you guys went in with, like, to hell with the devil.
You didn't even try to be subtle.
Go Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, go Jesus.
They might as well have written a song called Go Jesus. Well, we got our episode name. To Hell with the Devil. Go Jesus.
Yeah, go Jesus.
Oh, fuck.
Too funny.
All right, I hate to end on a down note, so maybe we'll come up with something else at the last second. But you and I want to take a moment to, I guess, eulogize one of our unfortunately dearly departed teachers from junior year, our junior English teacher, Mrs. Bryce, who just passed away. It was less than 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to go to the service, but with everything I'm in New Jersey for, it didn't work out.
I wasn't able to make it either.
Yeah, I wasn't able to go either because I wanted to. I physically couldn't be there. I had to be somewhere else.
Yeah, I had her senior year of high school, and I loved her. Mm. I loved her. She was a great teacher. She was such a sweet, caring woman. And this is a hard hit.
And she was
still relatively young, too.
In her 70s, yeah.
In her 70s, like, I mean...
It's one of those things that struck me, too, when it came to, all the deaths. This year's been fucking shitty for deaths.
Yeah.
For, you know, all sorts of people.
2016 is rough already.
Yeah. And we're barely into it.
We're
6 weeks into the fucking year, and it's like we just keep losing people. It's fucking sad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're in the era, once again talked about on the show, where we're going to be losing icons. Because they're just at a certain age where that's how it's going to go. But, I mean, yeah, the fact she was in her 70s is like... Not as if she lived a short life, but also with everybody else who's died recently, musicians and Alan Rickman and all these other people. It's like, that's the age range my parents are in. So some of those things that makes me like, oh, shit. No, thinking about it.
Yeah.
It is, man. It's rough. But, yeah, I had her for junior year for English, for Brit Lit.
Yeah.
We did British literature, which the highlight for me was the Canterbury Tales because word cunt is in it. But
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, isn't it? I don't remember much else. The funny thing is, oh man, I don't remember how exactly it came up. Oh, now I do. It was between her and a guy who was a senior who was in my photography class. That was one of my electives junior year, and I took it again senior year because I needed some elective / something to skip at the end of the day. But this dude Joe, who was a year older than me, who's a huge Iron Maiden fan, almost every day wore an Iron Maiden t-shirt, and she talked about, because we read The Rime of the Ancient Mariner in class. And she said Iron Maiden did a song about it, and it's whatever it was. I mean, Iron Maiden, she's totally outside the demographic, you would assume. Yeah, just a little bit, by about 15 years. But anyway, she talked about it, and with him talking about Iron Maiden and just, I mean, talking about music in general, because he knew I was into music and hard rock, heavy metal, whatever. And he's like, you really should get Iron Maiden a try. I'm telling you, you should listen. And I knew nothing from Iron Maiden. Honestly, didn't know anything. Couldn't have named a song, didn't know what they sounded like, knew the logo. Mm-hmm. And the zombie guy was the mascot. And that was kind of it. I knew nothing. And in part because of her, because it had the Rime of the Ancient Mariner song performed live on it. And because of his suggestion, I got the Live After Death live album from Iron Maiden, the double album.
Uh-huh.
My first exposure to them. And basically a crash course. The one I recommend to anybody who doesn't know from Iron Maiden, I suggest people get Live After Death. Not only because it was my introduction, but it's a real crash course in the band's first five albums. I don't remember how we got into it, but one of the points of pride I've always had when it came to my relationship with her was, at the time, it was during the brief era in the 90s when singer Bruce Dickinson was not in Iron Maiden, and he was doing an illustrious solo career, and he did an album called The Chemical Wedding based on the writings of William Blake. Oh, that's how it came about, because we were reading some stuff from William Blake in class. And this album was kind of a concept album that was largely rooted in the writings of William Blake, or inspired, I guess you should say, by William Blake. And I had it in class, and I mentioned something to her about it, and I think I gave her the booklet, and she was reading through the lyrics. She's like, these lyrics are beautiful. She was really impressed by it. So I bought my English teacher Bruce Dickinson's album, The Chemical Wedding. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if she's into it. It's heavy metal, so she may not have listened to it. But she at least read the lyrics and loved the shit out of the lyrics. And similarly, from talking just about music or about concept albums or whatever, because I mean that's when I was expanding my interest anyway. That was the year I got really into blues rock and progressive rock and just went beyond the regular kind of hard rock stuff. And also bought and gave to her 2112 by Rush.
Oh, nice!
So like a concept, you know, based on the writings of Ayn Rand, and you're a fan of stuff, and you're a smart woman, so here, enjoy that.
Right.
So
at least you'll get it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like, you're way smarter than me, and fucking, I like this. But yeah, I was always happy that I gave her. Chemical Wedding isn't necessarily a classic, should be. Maybe we'll be regarded as one in the future, but that and 2112, I bought those albums, those CDs, and gave them to her. And she enjoyed them. Not to say she went back, it's just like, am I driving to work? I'm going to pop in 2112.
Right.
I need to hear some. I need to hear Passage of Bangkok on my way to work. Anyway, I had that. And she also gave me one of the biggest compliments I've ever gotten in my life, which was I wasn't doing well in that class because. Playing guitar, just playing in bands. My interest was not in high school. Didn't know what I was going to do when I was graduating high school a short year later. I wasn't, and she had a a rapport with my parents anyway, because my sister had had her as well.
Right.
For English, her junior year. So she was one of those teachers who would call home just to say, you know, how the student was doing, not just for students who were doing bad or whatever. I mean, it was, for the record, it was honors English that I had her for. But she called home to speak to my parents, and it had to do with my grades weren't great. That's also because I wasn't reading the material, by the way. It wasn't like I was trying and not doing it. No, I was too busy reading the Iron Maiden authorized biography and the Pink Floyd authorized biography. I was reading those and not the books I should have been reading for my fucking grades. But anyway, she was having this, she called home, was speaking to my mother for a bit. I make jokes all the time about me being dumb or whatever, even though I'm obviously putting myself down. But she had, like I said, one of the biggest compliments, which was she said to my mother, to kind of paraphrase it, you know, with me being in honors class, she said, I look at all the students and I say, I mean, she's been teaching a lot of years too. Right. So she could probably tell.
She taught for over 40 years total. Yeah. Yeah. So she was in it a long time.
Yeah.
Even when we were that age.
Yeah. You know, oh, totally. She's still been
doing it. She'd been around.
For,
yeah.
Teetering on 30 years at that point.
Right.
And because you were 2 years behind me. Mm-hmm. Still are.
Yeah.
You heard it here, folks.
That's pretty solid.
But, she said, and I'm sure having seen different personality types come through, I'm sure there's always every year with the same age of students, I'm sure she can kind of tell certain personalities from a cursory observation of them. But she said, of all the students I see, and I don't think this was asked, Kissy, I believe it was genuine from knowing her. But she said, all the students in the class, all of them are, you know, very smart and they're going to do very well. But I think out of everybody in his class, I think Chris is going to be the happiest person in life because I can just tell.
Yeah.
Even though this isn't what he's doing well, he's going to be happy as a person.
Right.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah,
that was pretty incredible, especially from someone who of no. I mean, this one was on fucking Jeopardy, people.
Right. Yeah. That's a big
New
time.
Jersey's Teacher of the Year, like twice, I think.
Met Oprah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like she's serious, you know, very well recognized. So that was a compliment I took very, very seriously at the time and still do. Fucking half my life ago.
Yeah.
Believe that. Yeah, she was amazing. And that was another shot. And Andrew had her as well. Obviously, he's not here with us, but he's actually the one who broke the news to us where I was just like, oh,
right.
Fuck.
I think he was in my class.
You must have been.
With her. Yeah, we had to
you
be
guys
in class together.
You
yeah.
met junior year, didn't you?
Freshman
or no,
year.
Freshman year.
We met
Sorry,
freshman
that's
year.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys right off.
But
oh,
yeah, it was senior year. And there was in her class, in our class, there was a big plagiarism scandal that year. We read In the Heart of Darkness. And a whole bunch of people in the class had gotten the Cliff's Note books for that. And we had to write a paper on it. And a whole bunch of people used the term avatar of ambivalence that was in the Cliff Notes. And she started seeing this exact term show up in a whole bunch of papers. And it wasn't funny at the time. It's funny in hindsight, but she went on like a tirade. She ended up crying in front of us. Like it was really,
really
bad. She was so upset that everyone basically cheated on her paper. And she broke down. But eventually, like after the dust settled and everything was kind of cleared up, like she developed a sense of humor about it. And she would just start throwing that term out to people. And she would like look at certain people in the class who used that in their paper and just to bust their balls.
That's awesome.
And it was really awesome to me that eventually she kind of had a sense of humor about it. Because, I mean, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't funny at the time. Mm-hmm. She was really deeply upset.
That's
by
a heartbreaker. I mean, everybody like knows they did wrong,
yeah.
And now the teacher's in tears over it. That
right.
sucks. But, especially someone who you want to do well for.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I didn't at the time, I was a fucking.
And it was just that one book for some reason. Everyone got the same Cliff's Notebook. Like, I didn't do it. Yeah. And just plagiarized and used that same term. And she starts seeing it. She's like, wait a minute.
If only.
So she goes and finds the Cliff's Notes and. She's like, you motherfuckers. But she didn't say that.
That would be amazing. She just walked in. Slammed. It was like that scene in Private Parts where Pig Vomit takes the entire Howard Stern show and brings us off. You goddamn motherfuckers. She just slams the door in class, walks in the middle, shakes her head. You goddamn motherfuckers. That would have been amazing.
Yeah. But that was a big thing that I remember from her class.
And just retired a couple of years ago, too.
Yeah.
I think 3 or 4 years ago. It was fairly recently.
Yeah.
Man, just a shame.
It was
one of those things. And one of those things is I joke about it a lot, but like the older we get, the more I see of all these people who just, you know, it's our time is short, man. In the grand scheme of things.
In the grand scheme of things, it is.
It's weird to think about, but it's like, goddamn. You know, it's one of those things that drives it home. Like, man, this is that wasn't that long ago that she was my teacher and she was.
Right.
Vibrant and, you know, in your case, brought to tears by her class.
Yeah.
But still, it just kind of punctuates. And at the same thing, what's going on, and you know the reasons I'm here in New Jersey as well. It's just like, God, this is really, it's not fleeting because it does mean something, mm-hmm. even if just for you and your immediate circle of people. But man, it's just rough.
Yeah.
it's rough to absorb. So it was never a good thing to hear about, especially when you know she had more time in her. I mean, I'm glad she got to retire.
Yeah.
Yeah, she worked hard and had, you know, tons of accolades. I mean,
yeah, she lived a good life.
She did, for sure. And is that, remember, I mean, just the comment thread on her obituary that Andrew posted, tons of people, nothing but praise. I mean, no, it's not a fucking YouTube comment section where some dickhead's just going to be like, right. didn't really go crazy for her.
She flunked me.
I had one girlfriend who I got this is also years ago, who also had her and said, you know, just was completely just not a fan. Was like just so, yeah, and I was just like, I don't even understand what's wrong with you.
That
you
could, that.
Yeah, it was just like, she was stupid. She just didn't even know. She didn't know what she was doing. And I was, it like literally said that.
Seriously?
I'm not kidding. To the point where I was like, you're crazy. Like, I don't know how you can think that.
How could anyone even say a bad word
exactly.
about that woman?
It was like, if you know, and there was one example, I forgot what it was. It's Chris on picks. Chris picks on his exes this week on Cape. No, but it was, she wrote some paper and she said she like half-assed it or something or didn't do a very good job.
Yeah,
she,
well, that's your fault.
She got got a great grade on it. So she was like, so she's an idiot. And I was like, no, she's not an idiot. If you wrote a great paper off the cuff,
right.
Good for you. Don't like take the A.
Yeah. If
don't
it just
say,
came naturally to you, even if you felt like you half-assed it, maybe it was a good paper and she recognized that.
And it, just for you to be like,
well,
no,
you
she's
thought
stupid.
You like pulled one over on her.
Mm-hmm.
Because you wrote it in a couple hours.
But even then, you can't turn around and just be like, my teacher's an idiot. She gave me a good grade.
Yeah.
It was so weird. That was such a weird conversation to have, and frankly, should have been a red flag for me just to know, like, we don't see the world the same way.
Yeah. This is a deal breaker, honey.
Yeah. And it, frankly, that should have been, if nothing else. No, it was one of those moments where I'm like, but obviously didn't see any comments like that. Just a lot of great memories.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of love and respect for her. So we'll miss you, Helen Bryce.
We will.
You were much loved and appreciated, and I'm glad I got to give you some classic rock and heavy metal.
Yeah,
I'm glad I got just a little footnote in your absorption of people's art. I'd like to think maybe it came up in class one of these days. Like, you know, as we're studying William Blake, you know, Bruce Dickinson, who used to sing for Iron Maiden, did a concept album called The Chemical Wedding that was influenced by the work of William Blake. So maybe, you know, a couple more copies of that album were sold because of me. Yeah. Slash because of her.
You did your part.
I'd like to hopefully. Think of that. Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about, turning people onto stuff. You like the Canterbury Tales, I like heavy metal.
Right. Meet in the middle.
And we shall. Yes, exactly. And we shall have, our lives will be further enriched because of it. And because Chaucer used the word cunt. Woo!
What else is there, really?
That, you know, I think that's the lesson we take away from this show.
Yeah.
See, there is something good to end on. If you read classic literature, you might stumble across the word cunt.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
We're done. Well, that's it.
Well, that's it.
Once again, follow Ryan on Twitter and Instagram at Tagsonian.
Do it.
It's like Smithsonian at the end there, T-A-G-G.
On my own Sonian. Museum.
You are. You're a tribute to yourself.
I am. Always will be.
In life, he's saluting himself.
I'm pretty awesome.
And noseatbeltblog.com is where you go for endless blog. No, not endless, but, you know, posting every few days.
It's a lot.
A couple of times a week you're gonna get some new content from Ryan.
There's a lot of words,
which is excellent. I do legitimately read what he writes.
Oh, thank you.
Well, no, I'm saying I'm not just endorsing it just because you're a guest.
I don't read this shit, but you should.
Like, I don't get it, but you do. Well, I like
maybe you
that.
Will huh?
And of course you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Abalo and on Instagram at Chris Sells Out, and once again Cape Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr. And please like the show on Facebook as well. And the show will be back once again in 2 weeks. Every other Monday, you're going to get the show for a little length of time. But hey, you can count on it being there every other Monday. So that's it. See you in 2 weeks. Until next time, for Ryan Taggart, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.